Welcome, affiliated listeners, to another episode of the Affiliate Podcast. And today we are going to be discussing, I think, one of the biggest frustrations, questions, just, I don't know, things that tightens a butthole with concern and anxiety, which is how to hire a copywriter. But not just how to hire one, hire the right one and what questions you should be asking. Now, who would we be able to bring in to really be an expert with this? Somebody that's hired a lot of copywriters, maybe they might want to talk about their secrets. So today we're actually going to bring in is, I think, someone that's not only really impressive, they have a very impressive resume, but the perfect kind of person you want to talk to about hiring a Class A copywriter, which would be a Class A copywriter. So we have Stephen Kimball today, who's going to be joining us, who's been writing copy for a long, long time, decades, very successful, writing great top offers to some of the biggest clients in the industry, from Agora to many, many more, some he probably can't even name, but brands. And I could tell you, if you've been in marketing for a while, there's no way you have not read something this man has written, even if you didn't know that you were reading it. So with that today, Stephen, how are you doing in the paradise that is Hawaii, where you always live? And hopefully you had a good surf this morning, but hopefully things are going well for you.
It's always good in Hawaii. I haven't surfed yet today, but it's still early and it's raining, but that doesn't stop anything. Doesn't hamper surfing.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, that being said, the fact that it's raining there in Hawaii makes me feel a little bit better, because it's not in Boise. And it's the only time I can feel like I have an advantage over Hawaii is right now when it happens to be raining there.
That's right.
And not here. So, Stephen, it's kind of, I mentioned the tease here, like great copywriter for a long time, continually doing great stuff. And you've seen a lot of people come to you with the horrors of hiring a bad copywriter. No copywriter tells you they're bad. They're all amazing when you're talking to them. And sometimes it's really hard to figure out that difference. So today, being that you have so much expertise, I really can't wait to dive in to hear from you exactly the kind of questions you should be asking in an interview, the kind of things, the answers that you should expect in return to tell you that you have a Class A copywriter on your hands. So I'm really excited to talk about that. Before we jump in, though, I'd love if you give us kind of the abridged version of your story. How did you find yourself into this role of, Class A copywriting, being a great copywriter for such a long time? I'd love to kind of hear that abridged version, or at least the audience. I know we talked about it. I'd love the audience to hear that as well.
Yeah, sure. I actually have my mom to thank for me being a copywriter, and I've never run across in the 25 plus years anybody who began their journey as a copywriter as a teenager. But yeah, my mom gave me a copy of David Ogilvy's book, Ogilvy and Advertising, when I was like in ninth grade, and I had previously wanted to be a doctor. That was my dream. She gave me this. She said, "Stephen, I think you'd be a good copywriter." And I read the book, fell in love, loved advertising. All of a sudden, thought David was a genius. I actually pictured myself doing stuff like this, writing ads, although what I do now is a lot different than what David was doing back then. But so I did. I followed the dream. I went to college. I got a degree in advertising. I got out. I begged my way into an agency. And this is where probably a stroke of luck for me, where I had wanted to be just a general brand advertising copywriter. I got into a direct response agency, literally begged my way and offered to work for free. Told them I would work for nothing to get the training. I worked under a great writer for about a year and a half. And then I went to another agency, got trained by another great writer for about 9 years. And after that, I decided I was ready to service my own clients and went off on my own. And that was 20 plus years ago.
And so many years were you doing the agency stuff and growing and just writing, for other folks?
So I wrote and trained and learned for about 10 years before I was able to, at least before I felt ready to go off and take care of clients.
Yeah. I know we talked about it before. It's one of my favorite things about your story, because I think that's such a great way to go about copywriting. Well, obviously it's great when you can start when you're 16 or at least have the vision, but you went through the training. You spent time, like you said, almost working for free, and then just grinded out and really spent that time learning and mentoring from great copywriters, which no wonder when you rolled out, I can't imagine that level of copy has just been amazing from what some people were experienced with. And obviously, like you said, 20 years later, you're still doing a fantastic job. So kudos to you. Such a great story. I just always like to emphasize, if you are interested, even if you're copywriting right now, If you have not had that tutelage, if you haven't begged your way into a mentorship with a long-standing experienced copywriter, you are missing out and shorting the ability to be successful. I really, truly believe it. I encourage more people that are aspiring copywriters, even if you're writing copy right now, go find that person. Go work for free. Go work for cheap. Just learn. And, you know, you might find yourself in Hawaii talking to some guy on a podcast one day. Who knows? Anything's possible, right? So let's move on to the next piece we want to talk about, the main thing today, which is hiring copywriters. So where you probably haven't hired too many copywriters, I'm sure you mentored some, but you understand the whole route and some things that you would expect people should be looking to and asking when it comes to hiring a copywriter. So from there, let's actually start out in terms of just when you're looking to find a copywriter, what are some areas that you would recommend or would be the preferred ways that you think business owners or people seeking copy services, where should they even be looking to try and find these folks?
Yeah, so it's a good question. It's a little bit hard to answer. So let's just take it from since I've been a freelancer, which is about 20 years now. Even within those two decades, I have probably been hired over 1,000 times. I mean, it sounds like a big number, but I do a lot of work for a lot of people. And so I've been through this process of somebody coming to me and saying, hey, I have a project. I want to talk about a project and going through that, process with them. And so it really varies widely. So somebody who I can say here, I got thousands of samples. I've got 20 years. Here's a client list. Some people see that and they're just like done. I don't have any more questions. And then I get those who were really, really, I guess cautious. They, even though they can see my resume, they can see my pedigree, they can see everything I've done. They still want to proceed very cautiously. And so they start asking me, can you send me samples? Have you ever written for this product? They're always some people are very concerned that I've written for a particular product before. Not, and at this point, I've probably written for most anything you could ever imagine. Once in a while, somebody does come to me with something I've never seen or something brand new. And if that's an issue, a barrier to entry or to working together, I always just tell them simply, listen, in 20 years, what I've learned is how to get up to speed very quickly. So maybe I've never written for your product, but I have written for thousands of others and successfully done it just because that's part of my job is learning quickly, understanding what you understand, and understand what your customers understand. And so when they come to me, that's usually what they want to know. How long have you been doing this? Have you worked in this industry before? Do you have samples you can show me? And those are all, important pieces of this puzzle, because the fact is I understand what they're up against. I understand that they're about to spend, forget about my fee. They're about to spend tens, even hundreds of thousands of dollars to put in to affect what we're working on together. And so you can't afford to make a misstep. If you get the copy wrong, everything you put on top of that whole pile of cash that you're going to expend these market efforts falls to the ground flat and you start at square one. And so it's important to do your due diligence. And again, that is, do you have samples? Have you ever worked in this industry before? Do you understand what I'm trying to accomplish? And so, even those few questions are good for starters.
Yeah. So let's dial it back and we'll go into the interview. So it sounds like with finding copywriters, it could be almost anywhere, right? It's not where you get a copywriter from isn't necessarily going to dictate the quality of the copywriter. So whether it's from a job board or a referral, I imagine referrals are always preferred because you at least have somebody to say that they liked working with this person, right? And some hopefully unbiased results. They could come from all sources. So let's go into that next piece. You mentioned a lot of interesting things there. So lots of people are going to ask for, hey, where's a portfolio? Can you give me samples or at least who you've worked with before? So let me ask this, because I think there's been a lot of times where people have said, oh, well, they put that they work for all these people, but they never actually did. And how do you vet that out? So I'm kind of curious, like when we think, we'll kind of break it down. When we talk about that resume piece, when someone sends you the listing, hey, here's who I've worked with. Here's the results I've generated. How do you kind of dissect that? What are the things that you should be looking to if you were hiring a copywriter, you would be looking at when you saw that sheet that would say, that's BS or that's legit and you should trust this person?
I think it's really simple. If you say you've worked for a particular company, you should be able to produce that piece of work. I mean, everything that I have, if you go on my website, you'll see a list of hundreds of clients. If you say, okay, well, did you really work for all these people? Sure, I can show you what I've done. So it's not, if somebody can't show you what they've done and they give you an excuse why they can't, then I would say that's suspect. The other thing that says something
like, I say I could work with them, but I can't show you what I did. Like that would be very suspicious to you.
That would be very suspicious. The thing that I see a lot today is a lot of copywriters in different forums. What they use as proof of experience is, a number. I've produced, 197 million dollars worth of sales for my clients, and I've never produced a number like that for anybody because I have no idea. Truly have no idea. I could never account that. There's no way to account that. Over 20 years of working for clients to go back and figure out how much money they've made is truly an impossible task. And so I always kind of, shake my head a little bit, like, how did you arrive at that number? But that's what I see today, especially a lot of, new copywriters. They're like, oh, I made, $400,000 in sales for someone. And that could be true, but is that all you have? Is that all you have to hang your head on? Is that, do you have other samples? Do you have other clients? How long have you been doing this? Important questions.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. So I love first kind of recap when you get that resume, if they're going to list like, hey, this is who I've worked for. The first thing is like, great. Can I see the work you did for them? I love that. Cause you're right. If someone's not able to quickly produce that, you should be very suspect. Cause if you could list that you worked for that company, why would they not let you show what you actually did for them? That doesn't make any sense. So I really like that you put that one. And then going to that next thing, I think kind of looking – I just like lost my train of thought. I apologize. So on the next thing, but you're talking about like oh my gosh. Oh yeah, the claims. Sorry, I literally couldn't remember what we just said, so I apologize. So when you think about the claims, what's really interesting about that is so when you see someone that makes these claims, and they could go and ask somebody, but that should be kind of a barometer that they're trying to overstate something to distract you from the fact that maybe they don't have any other wins. Maybe one time, one email did really well. But I mean, as they say, a dog could catch it, or what, a clock is right twice a day, or a broken clock's right twice a day. So, or once a day. I can't remember the adage. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those things where, you might, luck could be confused for success in copywriting far too often. So that's a really good thing to kind of raise up those flags. So let's say there's a situation, someone says, I've made clients over $100 million. So if you were talking to a copywriter that had that claim to you and they're leading with that, you're a little suspect. How might you try and poke holes in that? Would it kind of just be like you said, you say, where did you come up with that number? How did you get that number? What would be kind of the things that you would pick at that to try and uncover if they were full of crap or not?
Yeah, I would go take the direct approach. If I was a client and someone said, this is my big evidence of proof is that I, helped this client make, $250 million. Like, okay, well, how did you get that number? And is that the only client you've worked for? Have you done other work? What else have you done? And if they kind of stutter around, not that there's not a lot of amazing copywriters and a lot of amazing new copywriters out there. But there is, a group of us who have been around and doing this for a long time. So, the evidence is decades of doing something. Otherwise, we would have been out of business a long time ago. But, if there's only one piece of evidence, then, not that they're not good, but again, there's a large gamble here. There's a lot of money on the line. If it were me, I want to make sure that money has its very best chance of making me more money. And so I'm going to go with somebody who has I'm going to take experience over a one-off, success story.
Yeah. Well, especially I imagine that would dictate how much you're paying too, right? So if someone wants to claim this and still charge you $20,000 and they've had one successful campaign ever, or helped out one client ever, that feels a little bit of a risk and maybe an unnecessary one. But if you know that, hey, maybe because like you said, there's lots of good copywriters that are just new and they're early, and the pay that you put in should reflect that. So I think that's a good bump. So let me ask you, kind of curious, and I know markets change. I mean, we live in Biden's America. Inflation is a regular part of everything we do. And we'll go into some more questions here in a second, but just what would you anticipate? So if it was somebody that was like that, that they had had one big success, but really didn't have anything else to say, like, hey, here's a consistency or like a high number of success. Maybe it was just their first one, but it was very, very real big, real successful. So what would you anticipate? I know there's probably more information there, but just if you've got a range of what you anticipate to pay for somebody, say, writing a sales page, not a VSL even, just like a text sales page, long form, what would you anticipate for someone like that to charge? Or what you should pay
for somebody who was relatively new?
Relatively new with one big hit, but that's pretty much all they have.
Yeah. The evidence just isn't there. So I would say, you know, if we want to do this, I'm going to lower my risk by lowering my costs. And so maybe that's $4,000 or $5,000 project instead of a $12,000, $15,000, $18,000 project. But you know, that's how it goes. That's the model you see today. I run up against it all the time. Clients who contact me or would be clients who tell me about somebody who's willing to do this for next to nothing. And, you know, all I can say to them is, hey, you should try it, but you have to understand the risk. You can't duplicate experience. And I often use the example of, like a brain surgeon. If you have a brain tumor, do you want the surgeon who's been doing it for 30 years, or do you want the one who's brand new but going to charge you less?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a brain. You definitely want as much experience. So no, that's a great example. So we'll actually circle back to that too, and the impacts of getting the wrong hire in a copywriter, because I think that's an important one. I know you have to clean up those messes often. So first, I want to circle back. So just a couple of things we have. Again, like if they're putting big claims of who they work with, they should be able to deliver that stuff. If they're saying that they've done such great results, but you don't have anything else, that should be discounting the price. And you should be able to communicate that. Probably move it to more of a performance-oriented thing. If they are confident in their abilities, give them a performance writer. I wouldn't say royalty. I'd be like, hey, if it hits this benchmark, I'll pay you an extra blank. If it's this benchmark, I'll pay you an extra blank. Anyway, but one of the things, so going back, when you're talking to them as well, what are some other questions? If you're in the interview phase, what are some things you would, maybe not specific questions to ask, but things you want to ask about, like what happens when the offer fails or things like that? Just curious, some other important questions that you'd want to ask a copywriter before you hire them.
Yeah, I mean, the best case scenario is that everybody gets paid. The client makes millions and the copywriter has a fair fee and maybe a royalty attached. And best case scenario is you do it again. Worst case scenario was you get the call that said, hey, that it didn't work at all. Like, we got nothing. And then the copywriter has a decision to make. Do they say, well, okay, well, it's here's what I'm going to charge to redo it or fix it or make changes for you. Personally, my take on this has always been, long after I've been paid, that offer is still mine and I still have responsibility for it. So, my feeling and the way I've always operated is I'll make changes. I've never charged for changes. If I have to rewrite an entire offer from scratch, I will, because I feel like that's what I've been paid for. And so not all copywriters are willing to do that. They'll do it, but they want to get paid again. And so I think that's, I think clients, and I can't speak for everybody, but I think that's what clients should expect of their copywriters, is this is an ongoing job. If it succeeds, let's see if we can make it succeed more. If it succeeds, let's do another one. If it doesn't succeed, how are we going to work through this to get it, what they paid for? And so that's a question every copywriter has to answer for themselves. What are they willing to do to make that client happy?
Yeah. And so that's something too, if you're interviewing them, you should be asking that as well. Like, hey, if this, we want it all to go great, what happens when it fails? And so I think one of the big barometers, and I agree, like, honestly, I think you're right. Like, clients should expect that the pride in the copy isn't always version one, right? It's that I am writing a sales letter, but I know, and you and I both know, like, you never really know how well something's going to do until you get traffic in front of it. And sometimes I think we've all, as marketers, sat in the lab and felt confident as heck. This is going to crush, high five and chest bump. Yeah. You know, broing out. And then you launch the offer, get all designed, and then just, you know, so I mean, that's going to happen to almost everybody. And you want to be working with a copywriter that's going to understand that and know that their pride is in the final product, the final version. And I own it. So I'm going to keep working until we get there. I love that. And definitely an important question to ask. And I think more importantly, that's the type of answer that I would expect. I think I'd be very tentative of anyone that say, well, it kind of depends on what you'd be asking for and my time, and I might have to charge you, but it'd depend on what's going on. It's like, that just means someone's not, you don't want to be in that hassle. You're spend a bunch of money. It didn't work. Now you're forced to spending even more for somebody that couldn't get to work in the first place. That would feel frustrating. I
think, and that's why they go somewhere else. And instead of, you know, working with that writer, they're just going to take the loss and go somewhere else. I don't want that. And I'm always happy when my clients tell me that they love what I wrote, but it's only half happy because I know that they're not the final test. The real test is, We need buyers to love it. We need money. Yeah. We need money to be made. That's when we're happy. It's only the first hurdle when a client says, I love it. It doesn't mean a lot. It's just because that I please them, but that's not who I ultimately have to please.
Awesome. Oh, that's great. Now, one other question I hear come up oftentimes when people are looking for copywriters or asking and trying to make decisions is the idea of time. So either how long it takes for them to write or how much time sometimes they feel, and I say feel because I don't really know, they feel like the copywriter is going to spend on the project. So for you, when you're talking to people and you want to evaluate what you think would make a good copywriter, what do you expect or what should clients think about when it comes to time and the way that they should maybe address or evaluate that based on the copywriter?
So personally, when I quote a project, I don't do it in hours. I do it and I just give them a flat fee, a cost per project. Everybody works differently. And so a client doesn't know if I'm charging them, you know, $30 an hour or $1,000 an hour. They just know that here's what I have a gauge of pricing in this marketplace. And so I know what something should cost, and then once they agree to that price, again, they don't really care how long it takes me, as long as it gets done, for the price we agreed on. And if you're talking about like how long is it actually going to take to do the project, I always offer my clients 2 to 3 week turnaround time. There's copywriters out there who will say, I'm booked up for the rest of the year. I've never subscribed to that. I want to make my clients happy in a reasonable amount of time, and so. That's how I deal with them. Here's the cost. They don't ask me for an hourly breakdown. Some copywriters are working on hourly cost, and then I deliver it on time and make sure they're happy with it. There may be different versions of that process for different writers, but that's what I think is reasonable.
And so one thing I'm curious in there too is like, how do you think, so I think that's great, honestly too, because I kind of get sometimes like, hey, I'm booked up the whole year. You're gonna have to wait 4 months for this. Again, that's challenging, right? I don't want to sit and wait around for something to happen.
And I don't want you to walk away because I want you as a client. So I'm going to figure out how to get it done.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that. Just go get the work done. Now, one thing I'm curious about is you mentioned on deadlines, don't miss the deadline. Holy cow, is that a common thing and a very common frustration with people working with copywriters, and copywriters set deadlines that seem to not matter. And they just breeze right past them. So curious kind of like, what are some questions or expectations that you feel like offer owners should have when dealing with deadlines and copywriters?
Yeah. I mean, any good copywriter's got to honor the deadline or else you're going to lose your reputation real fast. So again, I'm going to be honest. I often don't even get deadlines from clients. They don't tell me when they need it. They just ask me when I'm going to have it. I'm the one that sets the 2 to 3 week deadline. And if they say to me, I need it in a week, or I'm going to have to go somewhere else, I'll get it to them in a week. If they say I don't need it for 4 months, I'll probably take 4 months, because that's what we agreed was okay. But yeah, when they say I need it on this date, or I say I'm going to deliver on this date, that's totally on me. I would never, unless there was a death in the family or I lost my arm or something serious, barring a really good reason, tragic reason, I'm going to deliver on time because that's a real good way for a relationship to go sour, is somebody waiting and waiting. If they're having to check up on me and ask me where it is, that's not a good sign. So I personally make sure that never happens. If I take 2 to 3 weeks and I'll give them an update, I started, I'm working on it, still plan to have it to you, by such and such a date. It's my responsibility to babysit the deadline, not theirs.
I love that. No, I love it. And so I think a good way to think about it too, when you're asking and interviewing copywriters, and if you maybe even ask a question like, hey, how do you deal with deadlines? And have you ever missed one before? Now, Grant, you have to trust if they actually have. But I think based on their response, if they had a lot of conviction around, I will never miss a due date or a deadline, blah, 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 similar to what you just did, that would carry quite a bit of weight, hopefully. And then the rest is up to them to prove that they actually don't miss deadlines, right? So we know copywriters could tell stories, and sometimes those stories happen to be untrue, and it could be even about themselves. So I think that's always a tough one. So, well, last thing, I know we're taking a lot of time. I want you to be able to get some rainy surfing in a little bit later. One of the big things that I really wanted to ask you is what happens when you've made the wrong decision? So you've hired a copywriter, maybe there's so many various things, but they wrote copy and it didn't work. They never got it to work, whatever. And maybe you stopped trying to get them to have it work, whatever it might be. And now they're coming to you. So walk me kind of through, what are the impacts of hiring the wrong copywriter? And then if you could just kind of highlight, and not all the details, you don't need to give us your secret recipes or secret sauce, but what you have to go back and do when you're kind of reclaiming a copy project or taking one over that had gone unsuccessfully.
Yeah, so it happens. I mean, people change doctors, they change banks, they change mechanics, they change copywriters. And so it really is a very, personal transaction, a business transaction. So, I have clients that I now count as good friends. We've worked together for so many years. We have a great synergy. But I understand that if they're ever not happy with me as a copywriter, it doesn't matter how we are as friends, and they have that right to, I would never, think poorly of them. They said, hey, I'm going to use someone else. It just happens. And so I think if a client, they should never feel trapped with a writer. So they may have spent some money, but I've seen it time and time again where it's better, whether they say don't throw, good money after bad. If it's just not working and you can't say to yourself, yeah, I see myself working this with this person for years, it's probably time to just cut your losses, because it's going to be better for your business and better for your company to just find the right fit. And so, I've had this conversation 100 times, more than 100 times, where clients have come to me and said, I hired somebody, it didn't work. I just don't think they have what it takes. I can show you what they did, and I'll look at it, and I'll give them a free evaluation. Either I think this is close, it just needs a little bit of work, or this is a disaster, and I think we need to start over. And if they choose me, they choose me. If they don't choose me, that's fine. They can choose someone else. But I think they've already come to the conclusion that their solution's not going to work, and it's not working, and it's not the end of the world. But what they, I think the biggest mistake is, when they hire someone that they're suspect of in the first place, because if they don't think if they're not sure it's going to work, and it doesn't work, they've not only wasted money, but they've wasted time. So they just spent 3 months developing an offer and not making any money. And now they're at the point where they're going to have to duplicate that 3 month process and not make money again for 3 months while they develop something new. And so, I think clients, companies out there who are in the process, who need to hire copywriters, they need to really think about, have I hedged my bet with this? Am I putting my money on the right course here? Am I minimizing my risk with someone who, and I think more than anything, like I said, experience. I know I've been that new person with little experience. So I know how it feels to just be screaming for attention because I want experience too, but But that's really where it comes down to. You can hire someone who says they're a good copywriter, or you can hire somebody who has been helping companies with their marketing for years and understands all the nuances and implications of what it takes to make money.
Yeah. No, I think it's great. I think one of the things I really liked about that that you said that I really want to highlight is the fact that it's not just a cost implication when hiring the wrong copywriter. And even if you're not told at the beginning, definitely the cost, maybe they're cheap. You're like, oh, well, I could try them out for $5,000. But the bigger cost is not the money, it's the time to market. Like you said, the three, maybe you tried to optimize, it might have been 4 months that you spent trying to get this and now have to reset with a new copywriter. It might take to get to a point where you could miss a lot of the opportunity that you might have had with the offer. Not to mention it's sucking money from you and never creating any of it. So it's just that time window. It's not even just the money. It's just the fact that you're not even being able, the opportunity cost of going and resetting that is so massive and so much larger than what you'll pay for another copywriter. But I could completely see what you're talking about. Experience, depending on where you're at and what you need from that offer, should always be very, very valued, especially over recent results, because recent results don't really necessarily mean anything other than luck if it's not backed up with experience. So, oh my gosh, that was such a cool rooster here in the background. So this is like, I shouldn't have been so distracted by it, but it's just a beautiful rooster sound. Oh, so, kind of going back to that, I think that that's really, really powerful. And people need to understand that experience shrinks time. And we've seen a lot of new copywriters come to market with a lot of results, but you're very right, very few with actual experience. And I think that's one of those really important things that a business isn't just about efficiency with cost, but it's also efficiencies of time. And that both of those could be married together when you're hiring the right copywriter. And especially if you value that experience for something that's going to pay you, just that floor is going to get raised each time. The professionalism gets raised each time. And you know, like you said, even if it doesn't work the first draft, there's a lot more drafts to go. I'm going to get it to where it can, for sure. So that's really, really amazing. So that being said, we've covered a lot of the things you want to look for when you're hiring the right copywriter. But as I talked about it, a lot of those problems can be solved just by hiring you, Steven. So, great tenured copywriter. What I'd love to do, if you could just kind of walk through the kind of person that if somebody wanted to work with you after listening to this, or if they're just struggling and they're like, you know what, maybe I can just hire Steven to fix or review the copy and see if it's fixable. How would they get a hold of you? And then also, what kind of people would you say is a good fit for you?
So they can find me. I mean, all they need to do is search my name, Steven Kimball, copywriter, and I'll show up. They can find my number on my website. They can go to your partner page on the ClickBank website and find me there. So I'm pretty easy to find. Skype, email, text, call me. Pretty easy to find. Very flexible is my hours. So I'm usually up late, up early. So yeah, easy to find me. And as far as, what was your second question? How would the
people
are looking for?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll be honest. When I started writing copy, there was no digital marketing. It was all direct mail at that point. I've been walking along the digital marketing path since it became a thing. I mean, 10, 15 years ago. And so what's my first love these days? It's digital marketing. So I love VSL scripts. I love long form landing pages. So what I'm looking for these days is really, really good digital marketing clients, the guys who are crushing it with multiple offers. Those are the people I want to work for, the ones who are scientists, who are really good at getting the copy, the offer right. Those are my dream clients. Those are the ones that I seek out, the ones that I'm excited when they find me. But yeah, that's where I'm at these days. That's who I love. Whatever it is, nutraceuticals, relationship stuff, financial stuff. It's all good.
That's awesome. That's awesome, man. Well, hey, all you digital marketers out there, if you're crushing it and you'd like to crush it even more, Steven is your guy. So we'll make sure to put that in the show notes, ways for people to get a hold of you. And obviously we'll just track to that experts page too. It's really important. You know, ClickBank doesn't have too many expert copywriters that we have and lists to say we know someone's producing great results. But we know Steven is a class A copywriter producing great results and is great to work with. It's really, really good that you're able to help some people hopefully select the next best copywriter that they can. Hopefully some just choose you so they know that they're going to get a great copywriter. So with that, I was going to tell people, please rate, review, subscribe. Make sure to also email us with any questions you might have, particularly right now at affiliated@clickbank.com. So things you want to hear next, questions that you need to have answered. But most importantly, we really need to know what kind of weird shirt we'd like to put Thomas in for our next affiliated episode. So please send us all your requests of like, hey, how can we make Thomas look extra weird? Because when he's not on episodes, I like to mess with him. So please send those in. I'll be sure to read them, and we will definitely get Thomas in a bizarre shirt that will have to at least be HR appropriate for our next episode of Affiliated. So Stephen, again, really appreciate your time. It was fantastic having you on here. Like I said, even though it's raining, I hope you get a good surf in today, and we'll be able to chat soon. For all those listeners out there, Thomas isn't here, so he would say happy scaling, and I'll just say goodbye. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.